How do you do? In this day of so much interest in Eastern religions and philosophy, we look at the experiences of a Tibetan monk in his search for truth. By a strange course of events, his pilgrimage led him to an unexpected encounter where he found the truth. And as a result of that discovery, his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission, brings you dramatized true stories from all over the world. Actual experiences in the lives of real people. Everybody likes a good story. Of course, people make the best stories, and you might say the streets of a great city like Chicago are teeming with stories, stories of drama and intrigue. We here at the Mission see those stories from a different perspective than some, however. We aren't merely observers of this human drama pulsating around us, but participants in it. Every day and every night, people from the streets come to us. We reach out to them with food and shelter, with open arms and hearts, and most important of all, with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Such people, when they leave us, not only have had their physical needs met, but they may also leave with a new life through their fulfilling faith in the Son of God. We bring you this special story of a man from Tibet and the culture of his day. And now for broadcast around the earth, this is program number 2518 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
There you are, Chuckle. Have you made your decision?
I have, Eminent One. I must go to Lhasa. I must seek counsel of the Supreme Lama.
Ah, yes, the Supreme Lama. My friend since he was a child wonder in the Bhatoda, Lhasa. You were brought to us here at Kaji Monastery in those days, Chuckle. A child of 8 years. Your father and mother are dead. No place for you to go.
You are kind to accept me here. I have many wonderful memories. And you, the great Turi Lama, have been like father to me. You guided me in the search for truth. You are the main reason I must go on pilgrimage.
Present word, Chekhov. I hear them coming from your heart.
It was you who guided me into study of pharmacy.
Yes, pharmacy. You have finest collection of herbs and therapies in all Tibet. You'll find many sick people on your journey.
I could never make this pilgrimage without your having guided me into pharmacy.
I will also send with you one of our most sacred scarfs. When you present it to Supreme One, when he learns it is from Kaji Monastery, he will be greatly pleased. Even after all these years, we often exchange correspondence.
The Supreme One will know the name of the Turi Lama?
The Supreme One will know my name.
And in all the monasteries along the way?
They too will know.
I think often of your words to us in the temple. What you correctly seek, that shall you correctly find. The words inspire me much.
I am pleased to hear that.
Daily in my reading of the sacred writings, I turn to the prayer, lead me from darkness to light, from untruth to truth, from death to life.
Who will you take for your guide?
I have chosen Injul.
Sacred matters mean very little to him.
I went to visit him. We discussed my pilgrimage.
I pray that as Injul guides you on the right path, your good example will in turn guide his spirit. At least he is willing to leave wayward woman who so often turns his head away from sacred matters.
He has made a commitment to me.
Good, good. You will have a noble pilgrimage. But before you proceed toward Lhasa, you must go a few miles onward to Tripping Monastery. There you will meet Kaisong, the oracle. His visions are always accurate.
I shall travel without fear, great Turi Lama, because I travel with your blessing. The mountains of southern Tibet, just up from the India border, had never been more beautiful than that morning when, in the moments before sunrise, Injul and I left Kaji Monastery to begin our long pilgrimage to Lhasa. As we walked, I quietly repeated the prayer I had found in the sacred writings. Lead me from darkness to light, from untruth to truth, from death to life.
What is that you said, Chekhov?
It is a prayer, Injul, a prayer I learned from the pen of Lord Buddha.
Ah, you remember the scriptures. I forget everything I should remember, and remember everything I should forget.
Lady
Look, you have a client before we barely get started. It is an omen checkup. We will have a profitable journey. I envy you the money you will make, and I have no worry you will pay me my agreed wage.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Tell the pharmacist. Tell him where your pain is.
Depends more in your head than it is in my foot.
Oh, man, he's got arthritis so bad as anything you ever saw. Can you cure arthritis?
I have a Sarita compound. It will give relief, but there is no cure. As we continued on our way, we both became anticipant and apprehensive. I felt a sense of destiny, yet I was in no way prepared for what happened when, following the Turi Lama's instructions, we stopped at Tripping Monastery to consult Kaisong, the oracle. His music and rituals allowed me to relax and await his blessings. As the trance began, my heart pounded. I struggled for breath as I recalled the words of the Turi Lama. What you correctly seek, that shall you correctly find. Suddenly, the trance concluded, and the oracle cried out his solemn pronouncement.
You must not journey to Lhasa. The spirits forgive it. If you disobey their command, you will surely die.
I am very discouraged in Jewel. I will go back to Kaji Monastery and my dear friend, the Turi Lama.
You cannot go back. You are on pilgrimage.
But our pilgrimage to Lhasa is forbidden.
Then we go on to Mount Kailash.
Mount Kailash?
I have been there twice before. There are many temples, both Buddhist and Hindu. There is a sacred lake where we can wash away our sins.
Is it far?
Oh, yes, it's far. But we only have distance to Lhasa. Mount Kailash lies below Tibetan border in northern India.
Let us again consult Kaisong, the oracle.
Oh, wise decision. Wise indeed.
The oracle gave full approval, so we resumed our pilgrimage, proceeding in an altered direction. The next several days, we met many in need of medical attention. At night in roadside hospices, we also encountered ailing travelers. The pathway became steep, at times treacherous. One morning, after we had taken shelter in a cave, a man approached us.
Hello, hello. You are friends, I pray. You will not harm a blind man.
We are friends.
Pilgrims to Mount Kailash.
Mount Kailash. Would that I could wash my blind eyes in the healing water of the sacred lake.
Come with us.
With you?
We welcome you in the spirit of pilgrimage.
I am a man of sincere religion. For many years, I have wished to visit that holy place. I will be your coolie and carry your heaviest loads. I ask no pay, only food and the mercy of your own eyesight.
Very well, it is agreed.
Wonderful. I shall die at Mount Kailash in the fullness of peace and have a glorious reincarnation.
For many days we traveled, a week and more, up and down the precarious mountain trails. The thin air tested our strength. The blind beggar carrying not only served well as a coolie, but became very interested in the herbs. He asked me if he might serve as my apprentice. Finally, exhausted, we reached Kadam Monastery. At the mention of Kaji Monastery and the Turi Lama, we were extended cordial hospitality by all those we met. So we decided to remain there for several days for rest, and so I could devote time to reading and meditation. Lead me from darkness to light, from untruth to truth, from death to life. Caring says at Mount Kailash he will be free from sin. Can it also be true for me? Sin is in my heart like the promise of death. Perhaps my God will have some word for me in the holy writings written by his own noble hand. To cleanse and purify the thoughts, this the holy beings teach. Oh, what is this here? What am I seeing? By conduct is indicated the attainment of conversion. Conversion. By conduct is indicated the attainment of conversion. I will ask that Lama by the window. Pardon, most worthy sir, can you tell the meaning of this word, conversion?
It refers to our thousands of reincarnations on the journey to Nirvana.
Oh, conversion, it can take a million years.
Check up.
Good morning, Injul. Is something wrong?
Kieran is gone. He took medicines with him and money bag. He left just after midnight. He told gatekeeper you sent him on to find our next lodging.
He cannot have traveled far in his blindness.
Blindness? What blindness? Gatekeeper said he ran like deer in night. And he went opposite direction from Mount Kailash.
I had no choice but to remain for many weeks at Tradom Monastery. Fortunately, there were excellent herbs growing in the area, and after many days I was able to restore my supply. I frequently spent time reading holy writings, in vain searching for more light on that strange word, conversion, but found nothing. Finally, I set a date for us to resume long journey on foot to Mount Kailash. I found Mount Kailash also disheartening. I prayed at many temples and bathed in the sacred lake. At the very moment of an oblation, that one word came to my mind, the word conversion. What was its meaning? Why did it linger so insistently in my thoughts? I questioned lamas and holy men, each giving me a different, often contradictory reply, meanwhile claiming to speak the words of truth.
I get it, sir. You find Mount Kailash disappointing, Checkup.
There is much more seeking after money than seeking after truth.
This afternoon, while you were resting, I came upon a group of pilgrims. They are going southward dude, in 2 days to Benares in India. I thought you may wish to go.
And you?
I...
The temptress lingers in your thoughts. That is your problem. The Turi Lama hoped our pilgrimage would heal you of your lusts.
In a moment, we'll follow Checkup as he journeys down into India. We are often asked, how can I stay informed of the happenings of Pacific Garden Mission? Well, the answer is the PGM News. The PGM News is a monthly publication of Pacific Garden Mission that takes you inside the old lighthouse to the very heart of the mission. Photos and articles bring the ministry you've heard so much about right into your home. You'll also have the opportunity to order Unshackled and Pacific Garden Mission books, tapes, and videos. The PGM News is welcomed into over 50,000 homes each month and is available simply for the asking. To begin receiving your copy, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your mailing address.
I left Injul to his hungry lust. The next morning, I sought out the India-bound pilgrims. They were delighted to have a pharmacist accompany them on their continuing journey. Multitudes of pilgrims came each day to Benares. They dipped in the sacred Ganges River. They prayed at the temples and shrines, but as it had been at Mount Kailash, I found no one who could help me in my search for truth. Lead me from darkness to light, from untruth to truth, from death to life. But you correctly seek, that shall you correctly find. The pilgrimage to Benares had one positive aspect, my discovery of television. I watched in curiosity at first, but then...
And now the news. Thousands of Tibetan refugees continue to pour into northern India as Chinese armies tighten their hold on Tibet. Many government officials have fled from Lhasa, including the Supreme Lama, who has taken refuge in the Darchula area.
The Supreme Lama was not in Lhasa, but right here in India. Before the end of that week, I met pilgrims from Darchula. They would be returning in a few days and agreed to add me to their party. There were almost as many Tibetan refugees in Darchula as there were local residents. The Supreme Lama had been in the area, but was now traveling overseas to England and America, pleading the cause of his oppressed people. No one knew when he might return. I was keenly disappointed. Should I return to Kaji Monastery and learn more of the Turi Lama's wisdom? Should I abandon my effort to find the meaning of that word, conversion? Actually, my search for truth was much closer to fulfillment than I could possibly have imagined, for in that moment, I saw a cobbler's shop. Having become concerned about the condition of my shoes after walking so many miles, I decided to enter.
Good morning, my new friend. Ah, I see you are staring at the words on my wall.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Those are words from Bible. Matthew chapter 11, verse 30.
What is Bible?
The Bible is word of God. Come, sit with me at my table. I will show you. Huh. I am Tashi, the cobbler.
I am Chekhov from the Nanda Devi region of Tibet. I am a pilgrim.
A pilgrim? Ah, that is good.
I seek truth, but I am in bondage to doubt and uncertainty.
Here, let me show you a promise the Lord Jesus gives to such as you. See, here, in the Bible, John chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
If I had not been so long searching for truth, I might have excused myself and gone back onto the street. But I remembered the words of Turi Lama, what you correctly seek, that shall you correctly find. Tashi gave me a copy of the Tibetan Bible, marking numerous areas which he said would be helpful in my continuing search for truth. He also invited me to attend a Bible fellowship together with a small group of other Tibetans who gathered one night every week there in the cobbler's shop. As I would learn, Tashi was their leader.
We have this simple message from the Bible for our refugee friends who, as once did we, seek the truth.
Oh.
Let me review this message for you again. First, in Romans 3, verse 23... For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here, turn ahead two pages to chapter 6 again, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then Romans 10, verse 13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
As I walk the streets, taking care of the medical needs of those who came to me, I thought much about the things I was learning from the Bible. I often visited Tashi in his cobbler's shop.
Come in, my friend. How are you this day?
My mind comes many times to the word conversion. What can you tell me?
Oh, conversion. You say you found a word in your holy writings. Mm. You wonder, is it in the Bible?
I sometimes hear the word spoken at your Christian fellowship meetings.
The word conversion is not in the Bible, but its meaning is clearly spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As I sit here at my work, I think much of you, and I pray for you.
Thank you, Tashi.
And the more I think and the more I pray, the more I believe you are what I call conversion prone.
Conversion prone.
God has been watching over you all of your life. I believe Holy Spirit has been preparing you for conversion.
Conversion. I continued to be interested in Christianity and began to have questions. What you correctly seek, that shall you correctly find. My friend, the Turi Lama, had told me about the words Tashi showed me in Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Did the words of the Turi Lama and the words of the Bible have a common meaning, or were they in conflict? And the prayer of Buddha, lead me from darkness to light, from untruth to truth, from death to life. Isaiah 9, verse 2 says, The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. What light? If only I could have reached Lhasa, the Supreme Lama would have explained everything to me. Surely a simple man like Tashi was not as wise as the Supreme Lama.
Oh, Jacob, I claim no wisdom of my own. I rely completely upon the wisdom of God's word. In Psalm 111, verse 10, we learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever.
Is it hidden wisdom?
Hidden wisdom? No, no, just the opposite. Revealed wisdom. Revealed in Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior.
Savior. I had been taught at the monastery that every lama is a savior, but he could never be a savior like the savior in the Bible. It was very confusing. For many weeks, I walked the streets of Dachula selling my medicines, talking to fellow Tibetans. I avoided Tashi and did not attend the Christian meetings. I also put aside my copy of the Bible. I spent much time in the temple reading the Buddhist scriptures. One day, I found a perplexing statement where Buddha said, "Truth cannot be found in a living person because every living thing must die, and truth cannot die." I decided to go and see Tashi. Perhaps he could help me.
But you are correct, Jacob. The Lord Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. He was buried, but the grave could not hold him. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." He rose again on the third day. Now he is in heaven waiting and wanting to be your Savior, to forgive your sins and give you eternal life.
What am I to do?
Oh, do what the Bible suggests. Here, in Psalm 34, verse 8.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Struggling, I continued going to the temple, but now I took my Bible with me. One day in the writings of Buddha concerning sin, I read, "Water cleanses all alike." In contrast, the Bible told me, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." 1 John 1, verse 7. Of faith I read, "I put my trust in Buddha." But in the Bible, Acts chapter 16, verse 31, I found these words, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It was time to see Tashi again. "I want to become a Christian, Tashi. I want to experience conversion."
All angels in heaven will rejoice with me. If you do not have any more questions, let us pray, Jacob.
All my questions had been answered. That day I experienced for myself the meaning of conversion. I became a new person, a new creation. I began daily study of the Bible. And with my Bible knowledge came a hungering desire to witness. I walked many miles selling medicines, but mostly sharing my faith in the Lord Jesus, especially with fellow Tibetans. I began paying attention to a young lady in the Christian Fellowship group. Tashi served as the go-between in arranging our marriage. Several years passed. Following the birth of our first two children, my wife Dolma and I moved to the beautiful Himalayan town of Mussoorie. It was a tourist center, providing wider opportunities for our work both as a pharmacist and an evangelist, with a mission board with an outreach ministry in Tibet. Then one evening, as I sat reading while Dolma cleaned up after our evening meal, something happened which was to become the crowning experience of the many years that had passed since I left Kaji Monastery and set out on what I hoped would be a pilgrimage to Lhasa and a meeting with the Supreme Lama. Tashi, is it you, my friend?
Welcome, welcome.
It is I, Jacob, and for special purpose. The Supreme Lama is visiting Mussoorie tomorrow. He has heard of Tibetans who have become Christians and has asked to meet a group of leaders.
Is he angry?
Oh, no, no. He is interested to know why we have become Christians.
What a wonderful opportunity, Jacob. I will gather other ladies together to pray for you.
For a few moments, I wondered if I might be dreaming. But when I saw the Supreme Lama, I knew it was reality. He was gentle and warm and spoke of Haji Monastery and the Turi Lama. I told him about my personal search for truth. Dolma waited anxiously to hear my report when I returned home.
God's ways are far beyond our understanding. When you left Haji Monastery, you wanted to receive counsel from the Supreme Lama. Instead, you at last meet him. It is you telling him how you have found truth in the Bible.
Tashi says the Supreme Lama has been given a Bible and he reads it.
We will pray for him.
We will pray for Tibetans everywhere. Tashi says even in Lhasa you can find Bible study groups. It is the young people, the new generations, looking beyond the traditional Buddhist scriptures as I did, in Burma, Mongolia, Nepal.
Only yesterday, our women's Bible study group memorized Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Jacob worked at a refugee camp in the eastern part of India, where he won many to Christ. He contracted TB and suffered greatly without complaint. The mission board helped to provide surgery for him, which extended his life 15 years. He went home to be with the Lord in 1973. Multitudes of Tibetans cherish his memory because he led them to faith in the Lord Jesus. How is it with you, friend? Have you found the truth Jacob found, the truth of which Jesus speaks in John chapter 14, verse 6, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This truth assures you that by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be set free from doubt and sin to become a new person. Tell God right now that you accept his gift to you. If you have questions or need help in making this decision, please get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2518. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Right today, we look forward to hearing from you. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. We want to stand with you in prayer through any crisis. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462.